Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the service for Easter Sunday 2021. And we'll start by saying, He is risen. Now, if you didn't say He is risen indeed, I'll give you another go. He is risen. Hallelujah. The message has been provided by me this morning, and the reading is from Luke 23, verses 32 to 43. There were also two others, criminals, led with him to be put to death, and when they had come to the place called Calvary, there they crucified him, and the criminals, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. And they divided his garments and cast lots, and the people stood looking on. But even the rulers with them sneered, saying, He saved others, let him save himself, if he is the Christ, the chosen of God. The soldiers also mocked him, coming and offering him sour wine, and saying, If you are the king of the Jews, save yourself. And an inscription also was written over him in letters of Greek, Latin, and Hebrew, This is the king of the Jews. Then one of the criminals who were hanged blasphemed him, saying, If you are the Christ, save yourself and us. But the other, answering, rebuked him, saying, Do you not even fear God, seeing you are under the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man has done nothing wrong. Then he said to Jesus, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said to him, Assuredly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. Today you shall be with me. During the civil wars in feudal Japan, an invading army would sweep into town and take control. And in one particular village, everyone fled just before the army arrived, except for the Zen master. Curious about this old fellow, the general went to the temple to see for himself what kind of man this master was. When he wasn't treated with the deference and submissiveness he was accustomed to, the general burst in anger as he reached for his sword. You fool, he said. Don't you realise you are standing before a man who could run you in with a sword without blinking an eye? And the Zen master calmly replied, And don't you realise that you are standing before a man who can be run through with a sword without blinking an eye? In our scripture today, we see three very different men facing death, and they react very differently. There is the man who is dying in his sin, a man who is dying from his sin, and a man in the middle, Jesus, who is dying for sin. Three men, three different circumstances. So today we continue looking at the last words of Jesus, seven sayings that he utters as he hangs there for 6 hours, slowly dying. Now it's been said that a man can be known by the company he keeps. Things don't change in the last moments of Jesus' life either. Luke describes the men on either side of Jesus not as thieves, but as people who do very bad things. They were more than petty thieves. They were the worst of the worst, who didn't care about others and would do anything to get what they wanted without blinking an eye. Now, Roman tradition always put the worst criminal in the middle, and as a result, he always received the worst of the jeers from the crowd. Why is Jesus there? In all truthfulness, Jesus was the one who bore the most sin that day. Though he has no sin of his own, he was bearing the sins of everyone. The thieves on his left and his right were carrying their own sins and hanging on the cross for them. But Jesus, the sinless one, was carrying the sins of the world. It's been said that in these two men on either side of Jesus, we see the two responses to the gospel. The first is hostile, the unrepentant thief saying, Are you the Christ? Save yourselves and us. He's thinking that if Jesus is the Messiah and he's dying on a cross, what a failure he is. Now, the unrepentant thief's question was asking Jesus to live, and the consequence of that would be that we would all die. But Jesus has committed from the beginning of his ministry that he would die that we might live. And the second response to the gospel is a recognition of sin, a confession of faith, the other thief turns to the unrepentant one and says, "We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong." In other words, we deserve this. We had it coming to us. Most of us will do almost anything rather than admit we are wrong. I've seen husbands driving the family on vacation, completely lost, unwilling to admit they have no idea where they are. 3 hours and many wrong turns later, they find a place that they know and they pretend that they knew that all the time. Men are not alone in this. We're born with an ego which says, "I'm not at fault." But there is something about the cross which tames the ego when we realise our own sin. The cross is the key to salvation. In Rembrandt's etching, The Three Crosses, you immediately notice the centre cross on which Jesus died. Then you see the crowd gathered at the foot of the cross and the varied expressions of the people involved in crucifying God's only Son. At the very edge of the painting, there's another figure, almost hidden in the shadows. Art critics say this is a self-portrait of Rembrandt himself, for he recognised his own sins. He helped nail Jesus to the cross. You too must come to understand that it is your sins which put him on the cross, as did mine. And every sin that has ever been committed placed him on that cross. The first thing the second thief realises is his sin. Now the scandal of Christianity is this. No matter what we've done, how much we've stolen, how many deaths we have been responsible for, no matter if we come to the moment of our death and now it is too late to remedy any of the suffering we have caused, no matter how great our sin, we can be forgiven if we truly acknowledge what we have done. It's a terrible thing when Christ's followers have become known as judgmental rather than grace-filled. What if we, like Jesus, offered people grace and welcomed them into the kingdom, no matter who they are or what they've done? What if we were known by our love rather than by our hate? What difference might that make in our community? What difference might that make in people's lives who would recognise that even they could come to Jesus and receive grace because we have extended grace? How many lives could we touch? How many eternities could be changed? He looked at Jesus and said, "Remember me when you come into your kingdom." What courage, what faith to dare ask this of the Son of God while dying on a cross next to him. When you get into heaven and all the angels are rejoicing, would you remember me? Jesus said, "Truly I say to you today, you shall be with me in paradise." He didn't just remember him, he delivered him. Salvation is by grace through faith. Jesus turns to a man who has been a violent criminal all of his life and grants him eternal life from one request of faith. If you're going to enter God's kingdom, you're not going to work for it. You're never going to be able to earn it. This thief deserved nothing from Jesus, but Jesus gave him the gift of eternal salvation. And grace is offered to all who call on Jesus. The thief asked just to be remembered and delivered, and Jesus said, "Yes." Even though Jesus was dying, he stopped the icy fingers of death itself to do what he had done his entire ministry, forgive another person, allowing them to be reunited with their Creator. Even in his death, Jesus is reaching out to people who are far from God. We stop being the church when we stop doing the things that Jesus did. We need to offer grace. So what about you? Are people who are far from God comfortable around you? Do they feel smaller? Do they feel valued? Do they feel judged and unloved? Or do they feel loved unconditionally? Are you willing to associate with bad people so that you might offer them grace and give them hope? This is the opportunity Jesus gives the thief on the cross, and it's the opportunity that Roman Road Church can give others as well. God bless you all this Easter. Amen.